Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we are taking a quick look at the Detroit Lions Week 8 victory, 26-14 against the Las Vegas Raiders. The game just ended, so this is going to be one of those instant reaction quick hitters because we'll have our full episode coming in the next day or so. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone. This is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
As we get into it, just a reminder to the listeners, please hit that subscribe or like button below. It is helping us build momentum, and we are very thankful for that. The Lions' defense showed up early in this game, and that helped keep the Lions in it early. An early turnover by Josh Reynolds, and the defense held up. How did they hold up? Kirby Joseph got an INT in the end zone. This was an incredible response game for the Lions, a big bounce back game, a game they frankly dominated more than the scoreboard showed. Now the Lions had to settle for field goals early on. Their first three scores were all field goals. 9-0 isn't as good as getting a touchdown or two, but it was still points, and it was points against a team that wasn't that good. The Raiders weren't bad, but they weren't great. Now, Riley Patterson hit a 44-yarder, then a 31-yarder, and a 33-yarder. So that had them up 9-0, but we know when you settle for field goals, you don't get touchdowns, it leaves the door open. And there was that one drive in the second quarter by the Raiders that made us all nervous. The Raiders basically ran the ball all the way down the field. Now, they didn't have any major big plays, but they methodically got down the field, and they got a touchdown. That made it 9-7. But Jared Goff led the Lions back for a touchdown right before halftime. He hit Jamison Williams over the middle for a nice catch. I think it's about 20, 22 yards. Love seeing some mid-range targets at Jamison Williams. He hit LaPorta. He also hit LaPorta in the end zone for the touchdown. So the Lions led 16-7 at the half. The Raiders had only 31 yards passing at the half. Oh, and by the way, a wide receiver didn't even have a catch. That is impressive, folks. Now, the third quarter has been a little rocky for the Lions this year, and the defense came out, and they got the Raiders to punt right away. But then Jared Goff threw that pick six, and I thought he was maybe throwing the ball out of bounds or getting rid of it, but it was a pick six. I commend Jared Goff's effort to trying to tackle the guy. It didn't work out. Suddenly, it's a 16-14 game, and you're like, oh, wow, it's just a two-point contest. But we know the Lions drove right back. They got inside the five-yard line. We're going to take care of this. But then there's a fumble. At least there's a called fumble. I don't even know how you call that a fumble and then try to go back and look at it. It was a bad call. It went against the Lions. I'm not sure how you make that. That said, the Lions defense holds. They force a punt. Then in the second half, it turned into the running game, the Jahmyr Gibbs show. The Lions game got going. Jahmyr Gibbs, Craig Reynolds, they helped take control of this game. So let's hit the major storylines here. What led to this Lions victory? Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown getting his catches as he does. And it seems like we're saying, oh, he got his catches. It's almost like he's undervalued or underappreciated, but I know Lions fans do not underappreciate him. And he made some big plays, even being under the weather. And now Amon-Ra St. Brown has the most receiving yards for a Detroit Lions wide receiver through his first 40 games. He passed Calvin Johnson to get that honor. That is some incredible company to be keeping. Let's talk Riley Patterson for a minute. The man hit field goals from 44, 31, 33, and 52. But then he missed that 26-yarder, and that's tough. I was planning on coming on this show and talking him up pretty good because I've been pretty happy with Riley Patterson. I was pretty thrilled when the Lions brought him back in because I didn't think they should have gotten rid of him when they did. And he kicked pretty decent for Jacksonville last year. We've gone over this multiple times. All things being said, I'm still satisfied with Riley Patterson. That was his second miss on the season. He's 11 for 13. It hurts that it was a 26-yarder. I get that. But he did make the 52-yarder. And I like the fact that the Lions were confident and comfortable with him kicking that 52-yarder. So is he a top five player in the league at field goals? No. But is he doing pretty good? 11 for 13, I think that's like an 87% success rate. So I'm pretty happy with that. But the Lions defense, they got the job done in this one. One drive allowing the runs in the second quarter. But other than that, the defense was in control and helped make up for those three turnovers. Coach Campbell talked about how he felt about this game.
Most important thing about this game was us getting our identity back. And that was what all the work was that we put in this week was about. The whole focus was about getting back to what we do. And that was the most important thing. And that really showed through today. Was it perfect? It wasn't perfect. But ultimately, we got what I wanted to get out of it. And you come away with a win. I thought our defense played outstanding. Outstanding, man. You play defense like that, you can beat anybody. And offensively, man, we take the turnovers out and we played some really good football. You know, we were explosive. We were able to run the ball. It's, I think, you know, one of our best rushing attacks we've had all season. Sorsdell and Yody and Skip all battled in there at guard. I thought Decker and Sewell did an outstanding job against a premier player on the perimeter. Man, the guys bounced back, you know, and they played with confidence and they were ready to go.
Now, the Lions started bringing more and more pressure as they found the Raiders could not handle it and made them more dimensional. So let's talk about some of the good here. Time of possession. The Lions held the time of possession. They had it for 40 minutes. The Raiders had it for 20. So double the time of possession. But early on, it was even more severe. After the first corner, the Lions had the ball for nearly 11 and a half minutes to the Raiders' 3.5 minutes. That wears another team's defense down. Speaking of defense, let's look at the Lions' defense. 6 sacks on the game. They did not allow a run of more than 9 yards. Nothing more than a 9-yard run. That's really impressive. I know we said coming into this game, Josh Jacobs was only averaging 2.9 yards a carry, but the man's still a really good running back. The Lions gave up 80 yards rushing, and they gave up even fewer passing, just 77 yards. Dan Campbell was really thrilled with the way the defense played.
Yeah, outstanding, top to bottom. Those guys really came through. You know, that was one of the things we talked about, transition from play pass into the rush and then working the games on third down. And those guys, they all go hand in hand. Alex, Jack, all of them inside with Kaminsky and Hutch, J.O., Barnes, because they all run the pick games, the twist games. But, man, we were, 6 sacks and 9 quarterback hits. I mean, that was all 100% teamwork there. So that we look like a tenacious defense. Like, that's how we expect to play defense, man. We're ferocious. We play tight coverage. We challenge. Man, I thought Jerry and Cam did a hell of a job. It was an outstanding effort by our defense.
And that defensive effort was a team effort. I mean, Alex Anzalone had 2 sacks. You had Tracy Walker with 1. Aleem McNeil had 2. Julian Okwara had 1. That's 6 sacks, 4 guys contributing for that. What a defensive effort. We already talked about Kirby Joseph's interception early on. All great things. So let's go over to the offense. The Detroit Lions rushed for more than 200 yards in this game. They ran for 222 yards. They passed for 264. Jahmyr Gibbs had 152 yards rushing, 5.8 yards a carry. That is some impressive stuff. Craig Reynolds pitched in. I say pitched in. He ran for 74 yards on 14 carries. He had 5.3 yards on average. You put all that together, if you didn't have the kneel down by Jared Goff and whatnot, it would have been even a couple extra yards. But the Lions as a team averaged 5.2 yards a carry. Jahmyr Gibbs, in addition to the rushing, he had 5 catches for 37 yards. Craig Reynolds had 1 catch for 12 yards. So the Lions running backs and running attack got it done. Oh, and by the way, they got it done with a reshuffled offensive line again. Dan Skipper even came in and was playing in this game. You had so many different moving parts, and yet the Lions running backs got it done in part because the Lions offensive line got it done. Now, early on, Max Crosby was all over the place, and you were wondering if we were even going to be able to get some good deep downfield passes off. We fortunately did. Those did take place, but Max Crosby made his presence felt. He is such a dominating force, a player that has to be reckoned with, and the Lions figured things out as the game went on to neutralize him a little bit. The Lions averaged 6 yards a play. The Raiders averaged 3.5. That's pretty nice. The game, though, should not have been as close as the score. The Lions dominated in many ways, and so it was a little tough to see that. You could say the bad was the Lions had to settle for so many field goals. They made 4, they missed 1. Now, doing that might not get the job done versus a better team. But it's also possible that the Lions looked at everything and thought, based on what we're seeing right now, this is the smart move. I frankly have no problems with any of the decisions they made. I was happy when they went for the 52-yard field goal, and right before it, I said, he's going to make this. And he did. And he's about to kick that 26-yard field goal. You just had that feeling like, oh, really? This has to go in. Just please go in. And then it doesn't. So they have to figure those things out to try and get the ball in the end zone a little bit more. The other bad thing, it's got to be the call on the refs on that fumble. I mean, you got to be better than that. That could have been a game changer. It wasn't. The Lions did what they did. Major storylines coming out of this. Lomas Brown was honored at halftime. We've been talking about this leading up to it. He was inducted into the Pride of the Lions. You can hear him on radio broadcast with Dan Miller. He does the post-game show with Danny Rogers. So awesome to see him honored with the Detroit Lions. Pride of the Lions. What an awesome recognition for Lomas Brown, and well-deserved. Well, folks, the bye week is coming up. It's happy time to get some rest for some players, some healing as well. And it's the bye week, the BYE. But we're wondering, will it be the BUY week, right? The trade deadline is hours away. Not sure if the Lions will make a move. I wasn't surprised they didn't do anything on Monday leading up to the game because you probably don't want distractions going into the game. That's the last thing you want. And you never know what's going to happen in the game. Now, Coach Campbell was asked about it after the game with mentions that other teams have already made some moves. And here's Dan's response.
No, I don't really think of that. I just think of what do we have here now? Look, I'll talk to Brad. We've kind of gone back and forth, but I'm not, you know, they can do and have whatever they want. We'll figure our stuff out here. I just know this, and I said this, I don't know, probably a week ago. Here's what I know 100% is whether we do something or don't do something, I trust Brad 100% that it's for the betterment of this team. It's the right thing to do. So let's see where that goes.
I love his response. He and Brad Holmes are tied together at the hip, as he said before. We have a great football team. No team is perfect. The Lions are getting better. They're going to get some players back. We're going to have to see what happens. Now, after the game, Jared Goff was interviewed on ESPN, and he was asked, how is it not the same old Lions? And Jared Goff said, well, a lot of ways. He said, we're playing with a lot of confidence. We played well tonight, and some things didn't go our way, and we got the W still. I paraphrased, of course. And that they did. The Lions start the season 6-2. They flipped the script from last season's start of 2-6. Awesome start to the season for the Detroit Lions. Fans have to be loving this. This is kind of what I was hoping. I was saying if they started 6-2, you've got to be feeling really good about it. We're heading into the bye week. Got a lot to look at this week. We'll have more on our next show coming up. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.